stipulating the discussion be whole form, the interrelationship between the schools, especially desires that you, the members of the audience, take an active part in this and offer us your comments and your suggestions. We have here several panelists, representatives of each of our synonymous schools. One thing I'd like to make clear from the start on behalf of our panelists is that they are not a panel of experts. They are rather here to stimulate your thinking, to throw out ideas and suggestions of various sorts in hopes that you then will be received up and we can throw these about as a group. My name is David Lott from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. On my right now is Frank Jordan of Springfield, Millie Katz from Valparaiso, Gary Stenzel from Fort Wayne, Chris Reimer of Ruth Forest, and Fred Schomburg of Stewart. And our first panelist to deal with the number one objective on your list, the objective of fostering the development of a Lutheran student outlook. This will be handled by Frank Jordan of Springfield.
After our stimulating discussion this morning, I'd like to present a little story to show you the type of symbol and also the power that we have as individuals. This story is about a little boy. Many years ago, who had the opportunity to study underneath a great teacher, a teacher that was supposed to never give a wrong answer to a question. And as the little boy sat on the steps of his home, and the teacher was in the middle of the dirt road, the little boy thought and he thought, how can I ask a question that will stump this teacher? Because then I will gain fame for myself. And this boy thought and he thought. And finally, one day he came up with what he thought was the question that would stump the teacher. So he went that morning, and in his hand, behind his back, he had a bird. And he kept that bird behind his back, and he got there very early in the morning. And he was the first one in the circle. But as the older students came and as the elderly people came, they pushed him to the rear. But this little boy squirmed his way forward. And he kept that hand of his waving constantly. And finally, the great teacher said, "My son, you've been very patient today. You have a question that you would like to ask of me?" Little boy says, "Oh, great teacher, I have something in my hand. Can you possibly tell me what it is?" And that great teacher was going to give an answer. Little boy thought to himself, "If this teacher tells me it is something alive, I will purely and simply open my hand and I'll show him that it is dead." But if that teacher says it is something which is alive or dead, I'll open my hand and I'll leave that bird fly away. So that teacher, as he looked at the boy was waiting anxiously for him to say, "Is it dead? Or is it alive? Or did it just shrug its shoulders?"
that teacher looked at the boy and he said, "My son, that is entirely in your hands. And so is the outlook which we as students give to the community in which we are presently residing. And so we contain in our own body the spirit which the person putting us through college, the person which looks to us for leadership, thinks. For we are the symbol for which they stand. We have one common faith, one heritage, and above all, as in 1 Peter 2:9, the King James Version has the word, their peculiar people. A better translation of this might be, a people for possession or of possession, for we are God's people. He has bought us, and through us, he makes his work continue today. We are the people that the community and other students look to. And we must be the ones to foster, in all humility, using God's word.
Procedure for our panel will be as follows. We'll just throw this open now for a few minutes of discussion if you'd like some points of clarification to make a comment, and then we'll do this succeeding terms with each of our panelists, and we should have something like 20-25 minutes at the end for a discussion relative to the entire area. Do any of you have any comments or questions or points of clarification which you would like to request of our first panel?
The aspect we bring up, is this in reference to our intercampus relationships, or are you speaking of our relationship to the community in general?
Primarily to the community in general. We will have inter-seminary relations, I believe, in another, by another panel.
Perhaps in this respect, I could mention one thing. And that is in Fort Wayne, the Red Cross there has taken it upon themselves to get a college council among all of the colleges in the area in which they promote campus, the various colleges that they know what services can be done by the college students in their various community activities. And then also they come out with a booklet giving all the cultural events, social events on various campuses, and then also the athletic and such things in the area. And this way, they're trying now to implement the greater connection as far as sharing of activities in the Fort Wayne community. It's working out fairly well in our community.
I think, well, there's a possible way of implementation. I'm sure that all of you have various ideas as to how this may be carried out. Now, what we are attempting to do, of course, is to lay a foundation, first of all, and to stimulate an awareness of the particular needs in this area. And Frank has presented for us, I would say, the theological basis for a Lutheran student outlook, the fact, indeed, of the theme of our conference, namely that we are one body in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are manifesting the one Spirit of God, too, in our lives and to those people in the community around us. Anyone have another question or comment directed towards Frank's presentation? Yes, please.
Just a clarification of the word outlook. Does this refer to the worldview or thought shown by the by the student himself as he looks at the world or the community, or does this refer to the way they look at him?
This is interchangeable. This is interchangeable. Would be, for we have to have an outlook towards them, and they in turn have to have an outlook towards us. And this is a mutual, or should be a mutual, oneness based upon Christ.
And I believe we're going to have to move on at this point. Now, if you have a comment or question in your mind, just jot it down, and we'll be able to handle this at the conclusion then of the presentation. We'd like to move on to the second objective of the relationship between the Lutheran College community, namely to cultivate an atmosphere in which each school's unique contribution can be made to the community of schools. Because we're not thinking here of obliterating the distinctions between the schools, but to cultivate these in such a way that these unique contributions can be made for the betterment of the entire college community. And our panelist on this particular topic is Gary Senzel of Fort Wayne.
You'll notice that the second point that you just read, there are two things before I follow with a few comments that I want to emphasize in this statement. Two words, the word unique and the word community. And the theme of our conference, as has been said several times, is unity. And because there is this unity that we are presupposing that exists among our schools, but nevertheless we realize are some things which make for a very distinct uniqueness between us as schools. The fact that we are unique, and yet we consider ourselves a community of schools, that we find a few problems arising. These problems arise when we consider ourselves as a unity. And in the first place, the community of schools can, I think, basically be defined as this, that we find ourselves grounded in the fact of Christ. We are distinct schools. We exist in separate localities. We actually have different purposes in our existence. Teachers' colleges, a university, a free theological school, and STEM. Now, because we are unique, we find ourselves different, we find ourselves approaching things from different points of view, and yet, against this, we see that we are a community, and the fact of this is that we are grounded in Christ. Now, there are several structured questions that I want to present to you that I don't have an answer to, but I think possibly we can consider answers here today, which will help us to understand these two facts, that we are unique and yet we are a community of schools. We are a community of schools also because we are Lutheran, and in general because we are Christian, and because our purposes finally dovetail into the same thing. Since we find ourselves then bound together not only as Christians, as Lutherans in particular, then the question arises, are there inter-school dependencies and needs? That is, do we depend on one another for certain things, and are there needs of these dependencies? And if there are, what are these dependencies? The answer to the question, do these exist, certainly must be yes. Because we have different schools, we want to know exactly how this can be accomplished. Exactly how do we finally, not only on a level of thought, realize that we are a community and that we are unique, but how do we in reality, that is in action among ourselves, interaction, realize this more fully and realize finally more fully that our purposes are unique and yet the same thing. Concept of Christian brotherhood is in indeed a relevant concept in regard to what we are considering here. Then this question follows. How does Christian brotherhood cultivate an atmosphere of uniqueness, and yet foster a concern and understanding of our community of schools? Certainly a mutual use of the gifts of each school can be and must be accomplished. Now, exactly how do we reach this on the tangible level? How do the gifts and abilities of each unique school, how do these things come together and become so relevant to us as students as to make us aware of what our common calling, our common purpose, and ultimately that we are common men under one Lord, that is Jesus. So the question finally arises to this: how do we accomplish this? Certainly we realize that the first steps of this realization are conferences such as this, interaction between and among us as students, realizes this thing that we are unique, yet we are dependent. And yet because we are dependent, then the group of each school must finally come together in one large relationship, seeing that finally what we are trying to do with ourselves and with our school is finally the same thing, but yet the uniqueness remains. Follows then that the proper spirit is the desire to share these gifts and blessings with others. This is almost self-understood. But the problem is, exactly how do we share these blessings and these gifts? How do we bring this down to a tangible level? How do we get past the point of simply talking among ourselves about the fact that we are a community of schools, we have common purposes, goals, and desires, and yet how do we share this really on the active level? Finally, I think the governing factor in realizing what we are as unique schools and unique individuals, and the fact that we are a community under Christ, the fact that we are bound together by the love of Christ, that is, Christian love. Finally, then, we see that two things set our thoughts in motion regarding what we have just said. One is that our schools are definitely unique and separate, and yet a very definitive community exists that is to be recognized as a mutual sharing and a giving community. This mutual sharing and giving community is a great idea, and certainly the idea exists. But again, the question is this: how are we going to really put this in action, and how do we make it meaningful for not only ourselves here at this convention, but how do we make this meaningful and relevant to the students back at the school from which we came? Realization of our community, then, is grounded in the Word, and it is founded in our common purpose, and this, I think, must be the impetus for all our discussion and for what must follow here.
Thank you, Gary. Once again, any questions from the floor or comments on this, please?
This area that you cover is cultivated an atmosphere. Now, the theme of the conference, One Body, One Spirit, seems to emphasize what we are to expect atmosphere is supposed to cultivate. And it would also indicate that this kind of atmosphere may not exist the way it's supposed to. Otherwise, there would be no reason to having this conflict. Evidently, and I think it would be common knowledge that there is a lack of the atmosphere between several of the schools in our community schools. I'm wondering if, through ignorance and misunderstanding, these things do exist, these misunderstandings. Why could it not be possible for, say, between St. Louis and Springfield, or between River Forest and Seward, to have an exchange of students, an exchange of professors to assist in this cultivation of proper atmosphere? We find on the international level that our government seems to feel that exchange of students cultivates understanding and cultivates unity between countries. Why shouldn't it accomplish the same thing between schools if this is our goal, to cultivate the unity of the community? I would like to throw that up for discussion. Why not consider this
as the means of Gary, I would say this is the kind of comment that I was looking for from you, because this atmosphere that we're talking about, it doesn't exist. To think about it doesn't mean that it really exists, mm-hmm. But what you said, to do something on the active level, some sort of action on our part, But we are like the first step in trying to see, well, what is it we're getting at here? What is the atmosphere that must exist or that will exist among students? The interdependency at the realization of what we're doing here. I think that's a real good suggestion. Don,
yes. Could someone illustrate what we mean when we use the term unique contribution? What contributions do we have in mind that are unique to each school?
Question is what unique contribution can be made from the various schools. In fact, what might be unique about each school? Gary?
I would like to say, being a member of the student body at Springfield, I feel we have something unique. I don't think there's another school in the canonical system that you could attend that would give you the atmosphere of the mature, experienced businessman, type of person, being dedicated and to the ministry and sacrificing a business or a way of life to enter the ministry. All of the other schools, I would like to hear from the other schools what they feel is unique, and I definitely feel this is being unique. Thing that we have at Springfield that you cannot appreciate unless you participate in it.
Comments from the panel? From the floor? Well, this is certainly an item of thought for our discussion somewhat later, to mold it over in our minds. About what is the unique contribution that each school can make. I think our speaker here has highlighted one as another seminary, and I would say it definitely is true. For me, it's always a thrill to talk to men who have entered and decided to enter into the ministry through a different route and process than I, and to realize they have the same calling and the same commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are some of these areas then in which our schools can make unique contributions to the betterment of the entire body as we witness mutually to one another?
Well, I think that
idea with the other scenario schools. I just think about, say, the recruitment program. Some schools had it and just forgot to want to share some of the ideas, and possibly this is what we could look for too.
Fred?
I think sometimes it can be the sharing of individual talents. Also this idea of a non-permanent basis. So for instance, one school might have a person who is extremely gifted in the area of music, or in the area of writing, or perhaps in theology and seminary and so forth. Now this is utilized on each campus, but as a Lutheran community of schools, I think that these various talents can be shared so that everyone can profit from the specific talents of these individuals and also from the specific programs of education.
One more?
Library thinking
find that this era is an era of fellow together where we're all going together in a hot room and talking to each other. My way of thinking is fellowship between the crowd is not the school. Can't suggest what it means to get any basketball tournament, RF, football games, whatever it is. Just don't forget this is a good way to cultivate even in our early
Well, I'm sure that each of you has some ideas of your own now, and in our discussion period, and we hope to touch on these. We proceed now with the third objective, namely to foster the spirit of professional cooperation rather than competition. And our panelist to speak to this objective is Chris Reimer of River Forest.
In the discussion that has just been held, we've worked our way already into this objective. The objective here of the conference has been stated as being one of developing further unity. And by some of the comments here, we've already noticed that somehow this unity is not always existing in our community of schools. More or less, we have a competition rather than cooperation. And this competition takes many different forms. It may take a form between the two seminaries. As was mentioned before, the seminary of Springfield may have their feeling that they have a more mature group, a different group than the group here at Springfield or St. Louis. And because of this, it may develop a different attitude at Springfield than here at St. Louis. And at St. Louis, since this is the Mecca of Lutheranism, they have an entirely different attitude also toward one another. And I think this attitude may exist, or does exist, between the two teachers' colleges. The people out on the farm in Seward think of us as being the city snobs. It seems to be a generalization of misunderstandings, I would say. And this is a type of competition that occurs. And this carries on now not only in attitudes toward one another, but in attitudes that are found around the synod now as to what type of people come from these different schools. In some areas, the prevailing attitude is that a pastor who has been trained at Springfield is much better qualified than a pastor at St. Louis, or the teacher trained at Seward is a much better teacher than a steward, than a teacher coming from River Forest. This is a type of professional competition. And I think also the competition exists between our professional schools now, where we are training full-time workers for Christ, and then too with Valpo. Sometimes we think of the University of Valparaiso as being unique or just a little bit set apart from us because of the fact that they are not training persons entirely for this type of service to the church, but they are training people for other vocations. And because of this, we may develop an attitude in one of the other schools that an attitude of competition that we may be better qualified in many different areas than they are. It may also be a competition developed between the teacher schools and the seminaries. I know one type of competition develops because of trips people from Fort Wayne make to Valpo or River Forest. It has also been mentioned that athletic competition may be a stimulus to our unity, then it provides cooperation. For athletic competition is just this competition, and I believe it seems to develop a spirit of actual competition between the schools. I know in football, we haven't beaten Seward, and it kind of grinds you. But after a while, this competition seems to develop an attitude toward your school against a school, another school. And the receptions and things that we have, say, after games, do not do enough to help rid ourselves of this attitude. There are several different reasons now for this competition existing, and I think probably the main reason, though, is that we are forgetting our purpose, the purpose that has been mentioned before, that we are all one member of the body of Christ, and that all of our vocations, whether they are different, we are still living together to give glory to God. Now that we have discussed the idea of having this different competition, what can we do to foster more cooperation? A couple of different ideas were already mentioned. Here at the LSLC, I think we are learning quite a bit about cooperation, and we are very fortunate to be able to be here and learn this. But it's going to be up to us as delegates, when we go back to our school, to show an attitude of cooperation toward other schools. And we're going to have to try to develop this in our student body. Not officially, but more unofficially, in our informal talks with one another. It's so easy to right along with the generalization that Seward is a farm school, rather than to say something about it. And it's in this type of personal relationships with the other people on our campus that we can help to foster a spirit of cooperation and unity between our Lutheran school. The recruitment program that was mentioned also has a part there. If our recruitment committee is recruiting only for our school, here we are again fostering competition with one another. But if our recruitment committee is going out to with the idea of finding people who would like to be full-time workers in the church, and no matter where they go, whether they want to be pastors or teachers or laymen, well-trained laymen, and whether they would like to go to Valparaiso or to St. Louis or to Springfield, this I don't believe should be an objective of the recruitment committee, but the objective should be to encourage people to devote more of their life to the glory of God. Another way of developing our professional cooperation, again, has been mentioned just briefly. This is an education of one another, an awareness of one another, and more of an interaction between our schools. For it's overgeneralization, misunderstanding, and from these things comes the spirit of competition. And with a greater awareness of one another and greater understanding of the ideas and thoughts of the different schools, we can foster this professional cooperation rather than competition.
Thanks, Chris. We have some questions from the floor or comments, please?
all competition between our aeronautical schools detrimental to the ends we're trying to attain. I don't have an answer for it, just throwing it out. And is there a difference between competition and cooperation as opposed to the difference between Christian competition and cooperation? I don't have any answers.
Well, we're not sure we do either. but we're looking.
I would agree with you. I'm sure at least everyone here would also that all competition, you were thinking of athletic competition?
Oh, well, yeah. You were in general thinking of all competition too, weren't you?
Yes.
In general. That's what I'm saying too, is that all competition in general detrimental to the ends you're trying to attain. Should we throw out the word competition in our scenario school and go out the word cooperation in home?
To give a direct answer to this, we would not be able to meet, but...
Well, I'm not
expecting an answer. If I did, the attitude that all competition is invaluable, or, yes, invaluable, I did not mean to do so.
I think we have a definitive statement here, Kelly.
No, I just have a couple comments. It seems to me that there's a real place for us to be loyal to our school. And, I mean, I have a loyalty to Valpo like I could never have to Seward. And this, I mean, I don't think this is all wrong. I think I have a responsibility to Valpo like I don't have to Seward also. And I think that a competition between schools, too, can serve to make each school better. For instance, if you know, if Valpo has to produce as good teachers as River Forest does, just in order for them to get positions, then this is going to make us academically better, I think. You understand?
Perhaps it might be well to note on the objective itself that we're thinking here in terms of professional cooperation. We're not thinking so much in terms of competitions which may arise in terms of athletic events and so forth, but more in the area of the fact that we are all training for full-time professions in the church or professions of some sort in the church, be they full-time or part-time. And it's on this level that we would like to have the cooperation emphasized. And the fact that we are moving towards common goals. All right, please.
In line with that, perhaps our attitude toward our schools did not change depending on the persons of loyalty we're taking using off the beat. So, when you say our profession, as long as our attitude is going to interfere with our profession, our attitude toward Seward is still great. The other school is not our school currently. This is cool. Our attitude overrides our profession. Now, perhaps, how do we foster this spirit? That's the question.
All right. I think perhaps quite a bit of particularism that you seem to be speaking of is helped out by the prep school situation in which, at least in my own experience, is you go to a prep school and then from there you get to meet this group of people and then this group of people spreads out and some go to Seward, some go to River Forest, some go to Fort Wayne. And then you get to like this group of people as they are and then you also see that they can also fit into another group of students as they spread out to these various campuses. In this way, I'm not a Seward and I'm not a River Forest, but I don't think this idea that farm school and the city school, I don't think it's really as bitter as you seem to characterize. Rather, it's a little bit of particularism. Yeah, I think it's good fun myself, but I don't think so.
All right, very good. Please.
Yes,
speaker
was
point out the fact that in this room here, there are divisions. I mean, three, if you want to call them three, opposing forces, a sugar for the seminary. If you want to think of Fort Wayne as representing a quote, shelter, tyrannical education, liberal arts, and Valparaiso as the liberal or more broad concept of liberal arts education. These are the opposing or competitive or cooperative. Because there obviously isn't any competition between Springfield and Seward or vice versa or these other divisions. I think perhaps, I don't know how far this has gone, but I think it could go farther to the extent that perhaps these two, or these three groups of two could get together. The idea of this conference is on a regional basis is to separate the whole periodical the prep schools, which don't have a lot of identity with us, from us, separate them. And perhaps we could separate this one step further, informally. Perhaps Springfield could sometimes invite some of the delegation from the seminary here at St. Louis over and just have some good bowl sessions or between these different groups like this. I think this would be getting to the core from us.
I think one thing that we should all remember too is that, may I make one request, excuse me, I think it would be better for the entire audience that whenever we speak, we can stand, and then the participants in the rear would be able to hear that. I think one thing that we should remember also is that competition, I suppose, I'm speaking of competition in general, take a simple example of maybe in your old town high school. Competition between you and your next town, and right, so it may have been the keenest or the most apt thing that you could think of, but when it came right down to it, because of this competition, you formed a certain affinity and unity between the two of you. Whenever you met anywhere else, whenever you were anywhere else, the two of you could always come together and say, yeah, we're bitter rivals in a sense, but yet there's a certain degree of unity in this. And I think this applies too, in general, to all the competition that we're speaking of, that this can be a very unifying factor, not necessarily a dividing factor.
That's really true. I was thinking along those lines too, that actually in any institution, you have different levels of competition. You compete within yourself, and yet you have this unity fall back on. And that's where I think the most important thing is here is if we do feel that we have this unity that we can fall back on, and the only way that we can realize this unity is through the realization on the part of all of our students as well as our student leaders that we're all working towards one common goal, service in the church. And it's really important because once we do get out into the church, we have to have this feeling of unity. This professional cooperation then, feeling that if I'm on a staff with three teachers from Seward, say I'm not going to feel as if I'm working with them then, but after we get out professionally, that kind of cooperation is really important.
All right, we have time for one more.
The one thing that Chris said that really struck me, and that was that recruitment should be aimed at the common calling rather than recruiting students. Special school, because myself, I feel that I was recruited in high school when I first went into the seminary. I was recruited to Seward, not to the ministry. I don't know how many of the rest of you feel that way, but I think in recruitment, this is where recruitment to a common calling is again.
Thank you. Well, we hope now that we've simulated some thoughts along this line. I know some of you had questions or comments here. We hope not to have some time left over to handle these. But we'll have to move on to our next objective. Number four, to develop a program of extracurricular cooperation. And our panelist in charge of this is Fred Chomber of Seward.
I remember during this conversation was going to take out about longer than a hasty. I didn't have it really in my suitcase.
our topic is the sort of extracurricular cooperation, and I have quite a few comments that I'd like to make. This is aimed along the line of, rather than asking questions, perhaps throwing out ideas. Now, all these ideas I think are somewhat worthy, otherwise I wouldn't bother to throw them out. Some of them are less worthy than others. I'll let you guys evaluate this for yourself. I've divided it up into three general areas, and I'll explain this as I go along. The first area would be to recognize the areas of common interest and exchange, and also the area of strength. This is the thing that was mentioned before. I think that probably the best way we can do this is through our organization. One of the best ways. One reason for this is that the organizations already exist on campus. They reach most people. Just about everybody is some way associated with an organization. And frequently, they are identical, and almost always they're similar. There aren't really too many new organizations under the sun, just as there aren't too many new ideas. And the organizations would fall into several classes. First of these could be the national organizations. Examples of these, speaking from the ones I'm familiar with, would be American Guild of Organists, International Relations Club, things of this sort. Now, you may have completely different ones on your campus, but I'm sure that many of the national organizations that we have on our various campuses do match up. Also, church-related organizations, like Lutheran Education Association. Some of the campuses, I believe, have also the mission groups. Now, sometimes these aren't identical, but frequently they're similar. It is my feeling that when there are tie-ups between the schools, national, church-related, or otherwise, our tie-up between the particular schools that have these organizations should be closer, for instance, than it is with a school in Texas or a school that is not associated with our church or does not have a common purpose. In other words, an international relations club, I think, could gain a lot more benefit on our Seward campus by corresponding heavily with an international relations club on one of the other campuses. I think this would be one good tie-up to make. Secondly, or thirdly, common service organizations. Now, there aren't too many new organizations. I think the ones that I have listed here are so common that you can pretty well be sure they'll have them on any campus. None of this is a school newspaper or magazine. I believe every campus has that. Perhaps we could exchange press releases and occasionally ideas. And what surprises me is all the years that I've attended school, I don't think I've ever seen in our paper or a different paper an article from a different school or a news item from a different school. It's always been right here. Well, how in the world do we expect the students to find out what is going on? How can they expect to think of anything else but Marcy Seward if they never hear about that River Forth and Valpo and Fort Wayne? If they are really out there and they're doing something, why not tell them? Maybe, for instance, Seward could send around a picture of a piece of concrete that we have on our campus, you know, so that everybody knows we don't have all dirt roads. Drive this idea a little bit further into the ground, you know. Secondly, our annual staff. The various schools put out their annuals. The annuals are a real good ambassador for any school that tells a lot about it. Now, we already exchanged annuals. Why not display them? Have mutual evaluation. In other words, when Seward sends out its annual or River Forth sends out its annual, when we receive River Forth annual, we would look at it carefully, decide what we like about it, maybe improve ours, maybe make a suggestion to them. I think this could be helpful. And let the general student on campus see these. I myself have seen only one or two annuals, and these from other schools, and these are usually because somebody in the dormitory had them. I'm sure they're exchanged, but where they are, I don't know. Lastly, student government. I don't think I have to say much about this. LFLP is a wonderful step in this direction. It's probably the best step taken for this cooperation. Finally, this is an idea I don't think has been suggested before. I'm going to throw it out, see what it's worth. This is the idea of perhaps having canonical school honoraries of some sort. Now, when I say honorary, I mean an organization that says, well, We obviously wouldn't be able to set up a Phi Beta Kappa or something like that, but an organization that could honor individuals on the various campuses, not just from one school, but the common unity of schools for special contributions. It could be worked out in groupings, for instance, the outstanding contribution to teacher training, outstanding preparation, or outstanding example or service in the field of preparation of ministers, or just simply very fine service in the area of liberal arts. It could be based simply scholastically. There are many ways this thing could be based, but I think a common honorary of something of this sort could be a real nice tie. It could be an area for friendly competition. I think competition is nice, but I think it has to be confined to a controlled area. Secondly, are the arts. This is another area which I think falls under common areas of interest and difference. Of these, there are, of course, the graphic arts, and you could have students displays exchanged among the various schools. Some of this is already done, but very little from the students. A possibility of exchanging speakers or demonstrators. Secondly, the performing arts, drama and speech and musical groups. Now, it's kind of hard to exchange these. It isn't really so bad up in this part of the country, but it would be pretty hard for us, for instance, to ship our band to River Forest or something like this. But there is a possibility of, for instance, many of the schools have choir tours. Try to get to the other schools if possible, because I know we always appreciate this as tours. You learn a lot more about the other school and you appreciate their accomplishments. Perhaps exchange records. The literary arts, I would like to see an exchange of excellent examples of student work on the various campuses. And this wouldn't have to be only student work, but also faculty work too. This is the thing I spoke about before. We have some outstanding examples on various campuses. I think we could share this. Finally, perhaps a review of booklets would fall into this area, or a review of books. Many books come out that we're perhaps all interested in, or in specific areas. Why not work out reviews, perhaps from the different campuses, compare them, and publish them in our school newspapers, et cetera. Athletics, we mentioned this one before. I think it still can be valuable. However, I do agree that once in a while, the competition gets out of hand, becomes too much rah-rah for my school, and not enough of the idea that we're not fighting against each other, except on the football field, you know. And we're really sorry about the football field. Then social exchange. Now, some of these schools have extensive programs of this, as I understand, or not extensive, but they're getting there. For instance, I believe that two STEMs exchange a number of students periodically. In other words, they spend a day on the other campus or something of this sort, or they sponsor activities that can be attended by both schools. This is fine. I think this can be increased. It's kind of hard for us. There are limitations to this. This is one real good tool, but of course there are limitations from geography, for one thing. I'm especially aware of this one. And also that this isn't the whole answer. You can't reach everybody too well just by meeting at a party or sitting in a classroom. This will tell you a lot, but I think there's more to it. Lastly, communication channels. I'll try to run through this because I think I'm taking a while. I think we should have a routine exchange of information going on at all times. We've tried share sheets. So far, I believe they've been somewhat limited in their success. This should be a matter of procedure. If this should be done automatically, that we get information out to the other schools. Exchange of calendars, master schedules, special events, dates, etc. would fall in this line. And finally, this is one that I think is new. I'd like to just throw it out again. I believe a publication jointly sponsored by our canonical terminal school could have a very definite place. Now, I mean a publication that could be a monthly magazine, bi-monthly, semi-annually, annually, anything of this sort. But this is something where the various schools could combine and work on it. And I have what I think are some advantages, and I'd like to read them to you. One, it would underline and strengthen our common areas. Two, it should utilize and share our peculiar strengths. Now, this would be the place, for instance, where a doctrinal dissertation by a student at the seminary could be shared with us at Seward, River Forest, Bethel, Fort Wayne. It could be a basis for a joint rather than a competitive school pride. If we could turn out a good publication and distribute it, I think we could all be proud of it, rather than just saying, well, this is our job, you people didn't cooperate. I think it could be a very healthy thing. Could effectively unite schools in a common project, the same idea again. It could lead to a free interchange of ideas. You can pick up a lot more frequently by just seeing what the person has written than you can by asking them, well, what do you know that's new? Because maybe it isn't new to them. Maybe it's old hat and you just doesn't realize that you've never thought of this before. It could reach many others and help develop an awareness in others of our several schools as a united group. In other words, it could be a real strong PR element. And finally, I think it would be very valuable for a recruitment program. See, this is my topic. I hope I didn't skip too much.
Thank you very much, Brad. We've up to now, probably, in our previous topic, there's been a such a source they lent themselves to a diagnosis of a malady. We've all felt like we were working something on a dying body and spreading our pumpable the life back into this in terms of methods of implementation and some ideas. And I think you noticed that Fred's various suggestions, which were deemed worthwhile and valuable, relate not only to his particular topic, number four, but they sum up a good many of the points we touched on in our previous three presentations. Now, since we're running a little bit short on time, I would suggest we just proceed with our last panelist, and then we'll open this up to a discussion, and you can direct your questions or comments to the particular panelist or to the group as a whole. Our last panelist is Millie Keck from Valparaiso, who will speak on the fifth topic, namely to give a united witness to the general public of our common community of schools.
It seems to me that, first of all, we have to define who it is that we're here. It seems that as a community of schools, we have, first of all, a real witness to members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to the people from whom we come. And one of the things that we have to do within our church is to make our congregational members aware of the fact that we do have this common purpose that we've been talking about, that all of our schools are interested in educating students, but more than this, are interested in their spiritual welfare and in seeing that there is real spiritual growth in the student, so that you don't just care whether your student makes an A or a B, but you also are more interested in him as a person. And secondly, I think that the witness that we can give to our congregation is to show them that the active power of the word, that here we are people actually doing things. We have Christ in us, we are working, and they can see something being done. They can see the word at work. I think that we have a real responsibility to our congregation or to our church, to the academically sound institution. I don't think that we can expect people to come to Valpo just because they should have a Lutheran education. They should be teachers trained just as well as teachers trained in any other school, or they should be engineers just as well as engineers in any other school. Our seminary graduates should be, well, just as well or better trained seminary graduates than any other seminary producers. And so one of the real objectives we have and one of the real witnesses we have is to be an academically sound institution, or to be academically sound institutions. More than just a witness to our own particular church body, we have a witness to the world in general. We can't divorce ourselves can't pretend like we're this little tiny community who is having this great force and all you other people out there. We have to realize, first of all, that we have a lot of the world in us. I know it's always a shock to people, some freshman girls who come to Balfour and think that they finally come to heaven or something, and everyone's going to be so nice and sweet, and all the girls will like them, and all the boys will date them, but there won't be any competition, and everything will work out fine. And then they discover that there are a lot of wild people running around, and that not everyone is really so interested in serving Christ or in dedicating his life, you know, to the church. And this is always a rude awakening for lots of people. But I think that we have to be real honest in evaluating ourselves and admitting that we have a lot of the world within our own institution, and that this part of the world has to be witnessed to. First of all, this part of the world has to be given the word and has to be spoken to. Secondly, then, we also have to witness to the world outside of our community. It's really hard for us as common, as a unified group, the community of Lutheran schools, to witness to the people in Valparaiso, because most people in Valparaiso have no idea that there is a river forest or Seward or whatever. All they see is just the Valparaiso segment of this unity. And so it seems to me that a lot of our witness is going to be not as a group, but as a member of the group. Do you follow that? That, okay, if you don't, you can explain. and in this case, I think that it's real important that Valparaiso University be very much aware of what's going on in the city of Valparaiso, that we're interested in local happenings and local problems. Oh, a couple of examples of this are, we just had, the election that just went on. There were quite a number of students who were real active in the local elections, and we had a big part in it. And a lot of students on campus, too, were interested in the Indiana elections and in the county elections, even though none of us could vote there. Another example might be that we have just recently started a joint project with the town of Valparaiso the slum area of Alpo, to have a community center where kids can come and play and whatever. But the university is sponsoring these kids. Some of our social work majors are mainly working on this. And it seems that each of our schools has a real responsibility to the local community that you're in. I wonder if doing things like being active in politics or being interested in politics and helping the community in a community center is all we can do. I don't really have any suggestions. I don't think that we can say, Balfour has done this and this, and therefore we have met our responsibility to our community. But it seems to me it has to be a broader outlook. Any of you have any suggestions? Okay. Seems to me that we have to respect the rights of the town people. I know there's a lot of feeling about if Valparaiso University wasn't there, this school would be dead. You know, these people wouldn't know how it exists. They wouldn't make any money in their stores. And we don't have much respect for the people themselves. And I doubt that we can expect the people to respect our university if we don't respect them in the first place. There's also another school in Valparaiso, Valpo Tech, which is doesn't really compete with us in very many areas because it's just a technical school. But it seems to me that the Valparaiso University has or should have a definite relationship with this school, and that our students should be aware that we do have some common purposes with the school, not the same as we do within our Lutheran community of schools, but at least Valpo Tech and Valpo are both trying to train good engineers. And that we have something to say then to this school too. Now I know the seminary has lots of schools around here. I don't know if you have any other schools in Seward, but Chicago, whatever you do. It seems that we have to respect these other academic institutions, and then that we have to maybe promote communication between them. I think that as students, I know for me anyway, it's really
really for me not to be very much aware of the world situation. I didn't know that the flight's ash might have gone up until he'd been up, you know, for 2 or 3 hours. And I think this, that we need to foster on our campuses more of the spirit that we are members of the world too, you know, and we have a responsibility to this astronaut just like anyone else does. And I think that we have a voice, I mean, that we should have something to say about the world situation. For instance, in the Cuban crisis, we, as Christians, have a right to take a definite attitude toward it, or at least to be intimately concerned with what's going on. And I think our student publications here can help to have editorials on this, or letters to the editor about certain things. I know we just had quite a number of editors about this, letters to the editor about the Mississippi crisis. And it seems to me that we have to, we should foster some kind of discussion of the world situation. I don't know that we can solve anything, except that I don't think we can feel that we have no part at all in it, you know, and that anything we say is completely irrelevant. just one last thing that I thought of just now. It seems to me that one thing that we haven't been mentioning very much is that we have, as a community school, we have a witness to other Lutheran students on other campuses. I know it's real easy for me to get the feeling all Lutheran students go to Valpo or Stuart the River Forest, and all these other people don't really have any connection with me. But there are other Lutheran students and other Christian students on campuses that we have a real witness to, and that have maybe much to say to us too. That's not doing it very much as far as how to do it, but it's the nice thing to be done.
Well, I think that's the last point. Giving united witnesses to the of our common community of schools can be directly tied in with number 3. In the point that was made there is as far as recruitment mainly, whereas our recruitment should be not for one school, not necessarily even for all schools, but for our common goal. And so you might say, as we go on to recruit for this common goal, we have to recruit, when we aim at this common goal, we have to say we involve all the schools, we have to involve Valpo, Seward, River Forest, and all the other schools too. And so as we do this, it's just the idea of tying this all in so that our common community of schools will be witness to the public in this sense through our recruitment program.
I think we'll probably touch on this to a greater extent also in our session this afternoon on the recruitment area.
Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, good stuff. One of the weaknesses of this group throughout the years has been an inability to carry back the flavor of the conferences effectively to the individual campuses. It seems to me also that Fred Chambers' suggestion at least deserves a little bit more consideration from us. And as I see it, looking over the schedule, we're not really set up in any sort of procedural form to do this. And so I'd like to ask the question how we can go about at least considering and possibly implementing some of these very concrete practical suggestions we made.
Very good question.
Fred, do you have something to say to that?
As far as carrying this out, or as far as having a chance to take this back, we can, if you'd like, I don't know if this is what you're driving at, but if you'd like, I could prepare something like this that is in rather rough form now and send it around what I'd like to do myself, this last thing I mentioned on the publication jointly sponsored by Canonical Schools, I don't know, now this one has, as far as I know, never been tried. It may be completely impractical as far as financial difficulties. It may be impractical as far as the editing of this thing. I think these difficulties could be overcome. Now, the question would it be worth it? I tend to think that this could be a real feather in our cap if we could come up with something like this. Do you consider, for instance, the Lutheran Layman? They've got a publication which is well-read, well-distributed. That's a real feather in their cap. Here we are. What do we have? About 5,000 students represented between our six schools here, probably more than that, actually. And we have basically no united voice. I think we should. There's a lot we could be saying to each other and to the world at large.
I just would say on this point, too, Rob, we don't want to forget the obvious, which is the fact that this is the basis for our conference here. And the people who are at this conference are the leaders in their respective student bodies, and leaders as such, they shape and mold the attitude of their fellow students. And certainly there's a great value precisely along this line. I move we have a comment here.
All right, yeah, this idea really sounded appealing to me. The last thing that you mentioned there, as far as this United Publication, particularly to the students who are, say, right after post-confirmation age, are in high school yet, to let them know, to become aware of the fact that these are the wide areas that you can go into if you want to stick into the church-run school. I think if this feeling is general here, among the delegates here, possibly we could gain some momentum by recommending, say, to a higher, to, I don't know if the Board of Higher Education would be involved in something like this, in publishing or publications. I don't know if the initiative could be taken by one of the schools here, or if it should come from above with cooperation from each of these schools. But I could just see, say it's a 20-page pamphlet with each of the six schools that are represented here, or plus if we want to include the junior college, the prep school. And I could see this in the hands of the, say, the confirmant, or the freshman or sophomore in high school. And he can page through this thing and get a flavor of school life in these different institutions. I think this is a top-notch idea, and I'd like just to, like I say, if this thing would gain momentum here, maybe we could put in the final recommendation to a board, with the Board of Higher Education, or to some group that could give it initiative from above.
So on your topic, your question for speaker and so forth, it would seem to me that the impetus for this would have to come from our respective student bodies. And once again, this is a topic which I think we want to bear in mind in our discussion of this afternoon, since it specifically relates to recruitment. And we may want to take some concerted action along that line.
That's fine.
Yes.
So
with regard to OSLP conference, I think it was just the right direction that more general voice IT for the public to be. The fact that the leaders are leaders does not automatically assume that they are experts in disseminating information, attitudes, and motivating factors. I do not mean to say anything about leadership, but the fact that communication between human beings doesn't work too well. And if more conferences can include what is the common man, we can probably talk to them in a leader does.
Very fine. I think there's some common men present here. Greg?
Very practical aspect. I wonder if it would be better for us to put our efforts into a perhaps setting aside a certain amount of space in one of our newspapers and having us say an article about human beings, the oneness. Written all papers, or at least paper right about how the fact that we are one. I think probably one of our biggest problems is the fact that we don't stress unity. I don't think we have to worry about competition. The fact that we never talk about being one. And when you talk about putting a campus together from 12, 13 schools, it's not an easy thing. And once you get it together, by the time you get it together, it might be old news. It seems to me that this type of thing normally does not promote the best journalism. And I just wonder if perhaps we shouldn't have in every student mom a copy from every other United school of each newspaper that comes out. See, because I never hear about the news, let's say, from Stewart. I never see one of their papers or Rear Report paper. If there would be a paper every time it comes out in every dormitory with a column set aside, written especially for the people in the other school, perhaps that would work out a little more practically.
I'm not necessarily I'm not speaking to what you said, but I think that these news releases could be a real good thing. I would like to see, though, just news of Stewart. You know, not necessarily an article about all of us, but just what's going on at Stewart, or, you know, what are some big issues? Who are your student leaders? You know, your elections, or what groups are coming to your or what speaker are you having? You know, do you have any special convocations? Reports, too. Oh. I didn't mean to.
In reply to this, I certainly agree with you that this is a hard thing to put together a newspaper of this size. And the reason I throw it out is I think it may be completely impractical. I happen to think, though, that a joint effort like this could accomplish something that individual newspapers couldn't. Now, for one thing, it would reach every student. If we would, now, it would depend upon the distribution nature of this thing. But it could be worked out in such a way that it could be made to reach every student, just surely as the own student newspaper does. And I think this could be valuable, or it could be on a less limited, or a more limited distribution scale. I think if you would, for instance, limit it to the four or the six schools here represented, or with at least without the same extensive coverage of the prep schools, where I don't think that the need is quite as great. I think this paper, incidentally, could be very good to send to the prep schools, simply because they're going to have to be joining one of these schools. And it might be a good matter of information for them. If you could take a paper like this and, say, have a six-page paper, double sheet with a single page in the middle, and have each school responsible for one page, they could know, for instance, how much material they could put on their page. This could easily be figured out. Each school would be responsible for sending in their own layout articles. I think this idea of part of the editorship could be worked out. Now, maybe that wouldn't be the best journalistic way to have every school segmented, but it could be done that way, I believe. I think it would accomplish things, though, that individual school newspapers couldn't quite get.
Other comments? Don, and then.
With this higher abstraction, I think that the basic problem that we're all seeking to get around is the basic familiarity we feel in ourselves toward different schools and with students, especially from our campus and field toward the different schools. And I think that any suggestion which can call for an exchange of students, an exchange of views, an exchange of news, anything like this is going to help the problem, because familiarity leads to contempt. I think any familiarity in our case sometimes breeds at least misunderstanding, if not downright competition. And I think then that in any exchange we can get of any large size, any more interaction between the schools is the real key to success in this country.
Thank you. Gary?
I'm both a common man and I have no credentials to speak before you, so I'm out of order on both counts.
offers an opportunity for Lutheran students to publish articles, sometimes of a scholarly nature, sometimes creative, sometimes neither, but which are open to Lutheran students throughout the country. I think that there's a danger in confining a publication simply to Lutheran terminal schools. And I think that a publication, perhaps under your sponsorship, under our sponsorship, which could go out to students on secular college campuses as well as among us here, could have a valuable means of communication for all Lutheran students throughout the country. And I say this because I attended a secular school as an undergraduate, and because I had so little contact with Lutheran schools of any sort at the time, I developed the most extremely perverse distortion of what was going on within Lutheran schools. I think such a publication will help to dispel kind of mistake.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Yes, please.
With regard to unity, once more, I would like to say again that unity of program, unity of information, unity of art, science, etc., etc., is not going to be accomplished unless there's a unity of the people. The first speaker, I think, said it rather well, in the body of Christ, one line of life. Now, this personal unity is not going to be accomplished through a program. I don't think we can assume that a program is going to work unless a program puts the people together. Perhaps I'm not even assuming this, but I don't think any program has that power. I think it's the putting of the people together, they're throwing their ideas together. That is what we have to strive for. Maybe that's a geographical social impossibility, but that's what has to be done. I think when the Missouri Synod gets together in convention, they're doing unity as Missouri Synod. When all the delegates are drinking beer together, but they're doing unity because they feel it. Not the program of the Missouri Synod in so much as the publication, the group of laymen, and the people getting together.
Thank you very much. Maybe I could be all out of the sea, but.
Our papers that are on every campus now in essence could reach every other school, in essence could reach every other secular school in the country a lot more effectively probably than a publication of the combined schools. Also, if we did have a publication of the combined schools, which you would want to share with the secular schools, you would have to be very certain that it was a top flight publication in view of the editoring and the quality of the work that was in it. And I question whether this can be done on such a wide scale, bringing all the schools together and each one doing its own work and things like that. They had a very intrinsic system must be set up if we want to make this thing a great deal.
I doubt whether we could accomplish two goals at once with this paper. If it's going to be just a recruitment paper, I doubt it would be very interesting to college students. And if it's going to be information on the school that college students want to hear, I doubt that it would be that valuable for recruitment. So I think if you are going to be something like this, you should define your purpose maybe pretty carefully.
We've reached the end of the road. Now, I believe in our own minds there are probably still a good deal of questions remaining.
especially when we start throwing out specific and concrete suggestions, you know, all things of obstacles, you can think of cost factors, time factors, participation factors, etc. But the purpose of this panel, as it was conceived, and I think is now as it is functioning, is to stimulate an idea along these lines. Because we have to begin somewhere, and through this panel we've attempted to begin with an examination of the basic needs for a unity between our schools, for an interaction and interrelationship between our schools. And I think that out of this discussion has come some very positive suggestions, as well as the fact now that we as the leaders on the campuses are also in the view with an awareness of this, and indeed we can speak this to one another. I think now we are all faced with the task of thinking of specific methods, of implementing these suggestions, of bringing these ideas into focus, and I trust now that in the day or so that remains to us, we informally can also attempt to do this as leaders from various schools meet together and perhaps take up some of these suggestions and seek to implement them on their various campuses. Thank you very much to our panelists, first of all, for their presentations, and to you, the audience, for your participation.